From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of February, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's a TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing, right here in Champaign County, and part of the elevator system that services the southern third of the state and a portion of Indiana as well. And then, as we close out our time, we'll take up the weather forecast in detail with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And along the way, I'll remind you to pick up your tickets for the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. That's coming up next Tuesday. The cost is just $40. Include your Beef House meal and the whole of all the activities that take place throughout the day. We'll talk about the weather, sustainable aviation, fuel, weed science, discuss the price outlook along with crop insurance and the ARC PLC decisions. And, of course, the outlook for farmland. You should join us. Don't wait. Get your tickets now. WillAg.org or FarmDocDaily.Illinois.edu. Stay with us. The numbers from the CME Group are next.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
A nearby March corn for the day settled at $4.13 and a quarter. It was a nickel higher. The May up 5 cents as well. Settlement price at $4.28 and a half. And new crop December corn $4.63 and a quarter, 3 and a quarter cents higher. March soybeans up 2 and 3 quarters, $11.34 the settlement price. May at $11.45 and a quarter, up 4 and a half. And new crop November $11.35, up 5 and a quarter. Bean meal futures 3.50 higher. The bean oil down 25 cents. Wheat futures 15 cents lower, $5.71 the settlement price. The hard red at $5.95 and a half, up 2 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures at $186.12 and a half, $1.60 lower. Feeders at $255.10, down $3.85 for the day. And lean hogs at $86 finished a dime higher on the afternoon. Some of the outside markets: crude oil for the day $78.34 a barrel. That's up, or rather down, 55 cents. Diesel fuel or heating oil 8 1/10 of a cent lower, $2.61 and 6 cents. And the wholesale price of gasoline today at $2.54 a gallon, down a nickel and 0.4 of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 38,917. That's 99 points lower for this Wednesday afternoon. Greg Johnson from TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com, now joins us. Greg is here at the elevator in Champaign County that belongs to TGM. Hi, Greg. Thank you for being with us today.
You're very welcome.
Let's talk a little bit about the last week. I've been out of the office traveling for the week. I did make note, I believe, that new contract lows were made in both corn and soybeans. Can you tell me about the week's trade since last Wednesday?
Yeah, it's just been a continuation of what we've seen all year. Corn has been down 7 to 8 weeks in a row on the weekly charts. Beans, not quite, but 6 out of the last 8 weeks, beans have been lower. We've just had very little demand. Farmers are holding on to a bigger percentage than what they normally do. The funds know that, and the funds have maintained their short positions. And so we've just had really a lack of demand and some just farmers needing money here as we approach March 1. And now we have basis contracts following the March that are following the March corn and bean futures that need to be rolled or priced. And in our instance, I can't speak for everywhere, but in our particular instance, I'd say about 1/3 of the farmers just chose to price the grain rather than roll it. The other 2/3 rolled it, hoping for higher prices down the road. We'll see whether that turns out to be the right strategy or not. But the markets really have just been going down, down, down up until the last 2 days. We've had a little bit of a rally. The funds have been buyers. We've also had some export demand show up. China is rumored to have bought some beans, mainly out of Brazil, but at least they're buying beans. And there are some rumors that they may be interested in U.S. corn. I'm not sure if that works out, but at least the rumors are there, and that might be just enough to get the funds to cover. Combined with the fact that the farmers selling probably will slow up a little bit here now that we've gotten close enough to the March 1 deadline that the farmers that needed money to pay bills probably have sold what they're going to sell, and the ones that haven't sold are probably going to hold on for a little while. So all that being said, we've had lower markets up until the last 2 days, and this is the beginning of what we hope to be a little bit of a bounce.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what this month has been like for producers, because they did have bills at March 1, and or if they have rolled and continue to build larger positions, I guess, interest in basis contracts, maybe, I don't know, are they underwater at this point? And what that those costs all mean in more detail. So our farmers, as they're waiting for higher prices, which may very well come or likely to come in sometime in the March, April, May, June timeframe, I suppose, have they built, do they have to have deeper pockets is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, to answer your question about the basis contracts, the normally elevators advance 70-75% of the value of corn or beans at the time that the farmers put it on a basis contract. So in the fall, when corn was $5, we would probably advance $3.50 a bushel. So for corn, and corn has dropped almost a dollar. So now we were approaching $4 corn. So the farmers aren't over advanced. So they're not in any jeopardy of having to write checks back to the elevator, at this point, but they have obviously lost money because they could have sold the corn at $5 in the fall and now it's only worth $4, but, they're hoping for a bounce to get something, you know, higher than $4 at some point in time for the ones that rolled it. So, the farmers are not in, you know, I think the farmers that needed money took the advance, or they might have sold some grain to pay some bills. But now that that's taking place, I think they're, you know, probably going to hold on until we see what kind of planting acreage number we get, what kind of weather we get started to in the growing season. And so I anticipate farmer selling to be rather light until we see a little bit of a rally. And farmers are asking, what kind of a rally can we expect? And I've gone back and done a little bit of history. In years where we have this 1.8 to 2 billion bushel carryout in corn, and in years where the funds have been relatively record short, like they are this year, when the funds do decide to cover, and we don't know whether that's going to be the case today or not, but let's just assume that the funds do decide to start covering. In the past, we've had about an 8 to 10% rally in prices from the low. So if we assume that we put in our contract lows on Monday, 8% from $4 is about 32 cents. So we could expect a 30 to 35 cent rally in corn and a 75 to 80 cent rally in beans if it holds true to past performance where the funds decide to cover. But the caveat is, will the funds decide to cover any or all of their short position? We don't know that yet. We usually have to have some kind of fundamentally bullish demand news to get the funds to cover. And like I say, there's some rumors that maybe China is interested at these lower prices. We'll have to wait and see whether that pans out or not. But if we do get the technical bounce and the funds decide to cover, I guess I would expect maybe a 30-cent rally in corn and maybe a 60, 70-cent rally in beans, hopefully.
Looking to the new crop, how far along do you believe the industry is by comparison to previous years in purchasing corn or soybeans? Not much is marketed by this time, but some, I suppose.
Right. And I think most of the focus has been on getting the old crop sold. So if you haven't got your old crop sold, we haven't seen much interest in marketing crop yet. Now, having said that, I think people realize that if we use the USDA's projections at the Ag Outlook Forum, 91 million acres corn at 180 bushels an acre, that's 15 billion bushels of corn, and the demand is only 14.8. So if we have a normal crop, we're going to produce more than what we need, and that adds to the carryout, and that means prices will be lower in the fall. So I think farmers probably should look at selling on rallies, because hopefully we'll have some kind of weather concern throughout the growing season. You know, maybe we'll get a friendly report on the acreage report on March 31st, but basically corn could be in that $4 to $5 range. We're at $4.62 roughly today. If it gets anywhere close to $4.80 or in that ballpark, 480, 490. That's probably closer to the high than the low, unless we have weather problems. So I'm encouraging farmers to get offers in and take advantage of any technical bounce or demand short-driven rally that we might get.
One final thing, I'm really looking forward to having you at the All Day Ag Outlook next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Should be a really good day. I hope you'll come with lots of great information.
I keep looking at going back in the past. I've got some databases that I always try to find some nuggets to bring forth. One of them was this, how much of a rally do we get when the funds cover their shorts? I'll have some other little nuggets as well. I'm definitely looking forward to being there next week.
Excellent. Thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. If you'd like to join him at the Beef House next week on Tuesday, you can still do that. Registration remains open, but it'll close soon enough. Buy your ticket today at willag.org. It's just $40. Greg will be joined on stage by all of the folks that you hear in the afternoon slot for the closing market report, or most of them, including Wayne Nelson and Kurt Kimmel and Mike Zuzulo. That'll be the corn panel. In the morning, Ellen Dearden, along with Danny Poff, Chip Nellinger, Aaron Curtis, and Merrill Crowley will be there to discuss the soybeans. And throughout the day, we'll take all kinds of other things up. Eric Snodgrass will kick us off with the weather forecast for the United States, probably take a quick look at Brazil as well, and we'll discuss SAF, sustainable aviation fuel, weed science, and what dicamba might look like, some real issues related to the Endangered Species Act and the EPA. Aaron Hager will be there. We'll talk with the Farm Doc team about Brazil, the price outlooks, the February price setting month for crop insurance decisions, which will be, of course, done by then, and of course, the ARC PLC decisions. And we'll wrap up the end of the day by taking a look at the potential for the change in the price of farmland in the future with Bruce Sherrick. Make sure that you're there. Don't wait. Get yourself that ticket right now at willag.org. Just click on the link for the All Day Ag Outlook. The cost, that's just $40, and that includes your Beef House lunch at the noon hour and a Beef House cinnamon roll and coffee in the morning. Let's check the weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. Drew Lerner is now here. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew. I came back from vacation last night to it was just a lot of delays, and that landing in Indianapolis was kind of a fun one at near midnight last night. I was just surprised by what a rough ride, when you ride in kind of skidding sideways. It's fun. Did we get much of anything out of that? And did you get it there? How widespread was it? It must have been fairly widespread. It delayed a lot of flights.
Oh, yeah. The wind was crazy, really, from Canada to Texas and all the way into the Midwest. Really, this air mass was very impressive. It dropped temperatures between 40 and 67 degrees in 12 hours across a big part of the country. But it came in so quickly that really it was more of a wind event and very little precipitation occurred. We did see a little dusting of snow in various places. The only significant snows were up in the upper Midwest, parts of eastern North Dakota and even northern Minnesota, picking up on maybe 11 inches in a narrow band. But for the most part, we really didn't see that much moisture of significance. Had a little rain in the east. But it was all about the wind, and we were so warm. I know you were off into some very tropical climates this past
the Caribbean week. Was nice.
Yeah. Well, we had a little bit of that ourselves while you were gone. It was in the 90s in Texas. It was in the 80s in Kansas and parts of Missouri. And, of course, this morning, those same places were below freezing in quite a few spots, and northern plains back below zero. So we saw temperatures in the northern plains go from the 70s to the positive and negative single digits. So a lot of stress out there for the livestock. That was probably the biggest issue. The wind, of course, for high-profile vehicles was a big deal. and certainly for airplanes coming in to try to make a landing. I'm sure that shook you up pretty good. But we are already going back the other direction in the central part of the U.S. We're going to continue on the seesaw. The temperatures will be back in the 60s and 70s in the northern plains already by the weekend. We'll be in the 70s and 80s in the southern plains. The Midwest will be back into the 60s and 70s probably late in the weekend. So, and then another cooler mass coming up early next week. So March is going to certainly start off with a bit of volatility, to say the least. But you know what? Out of all of this, the one thing that stands out is the lack of precipitation, and that kind of disturbs me a little bit. But it is only late February, early March here, so we don't want to get too carried away with it. But we do have a drier and warmer scenario playing out for the summer coming up in the central part of the country. And so it's going to be important that we do get better timely rainfall events as we get closer to the planting season. And I think we'll get it, but I'm not convinced that the volume of moisture is going to be quite up to par, which might make it interesting when we get into May and June. But that's a long ways down the road.
Long ways down the road, very quickly. Don't have to go into much detail, but which parts of the Midwest or country are you worried about in particular?
Well, I think the bias for this particular growing season coming up for dryness will be in the plains in the western Corn Belt. So from Texas and Arkansas, into probably southern Minnesota and a part of South Dakota. And it will extend into Illinois once in a while. But when you get into Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan, and Kentucky, those areas will probably not be involved with too much of the extremes. There may be less than normal rain, but it'll be timely that occurs there. They still should do all right. And much of this that I speak of is summer. The spring, I think, will be favorably mixed. We should have moisture for everybody to plant with.
Yeah, we had rain as we were leaving yesterday from the Caribbean islands as well. A torrential downpour. Of course, we have to walk across the tarmac. We weren't in heavy rain in that one, but we could have been for sure. And then as you get on the plane and there's a big crack of lightning within about 5 miles of the airport, you just sort of set for a while, I guess.
Yes.
That's the way it happens. And it's always comforting when the captain says, we're just going to stay here until this passes over, and then we're going to have a bumpy ride out.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Good enough. Speaking of rainfall, many people want to know what the Safrinha crop in Brazil, that second corn crop, is looking like. There was a lot of concern that it would be late going in. I don't think that's actually the case, that it ended up going in maybe a little ahead of schedule. At least the numbers I saw before I left appeared to say that. What do you know about the crop and weather conditions there?
Yeah, the early crop, the crop that was, coming out of the ground, harvesting, it got out very quickly because we've been drier biased from Mato Grosso down into parts of western Paraná and Paraguay. And so the early season harvest has been really pushed along at a quick pace because it hasn't been raining as abundantly and it's been warm. And so the ground has been dry enough for aggressive field progress to take place. And yet it rains enough to keep the crops viable for the most part. And it's really not a bad scenario for accomplishing what they're trying to accomplish. But the problem isn't so much that early crop. It's the crop that got planted two and three times and ended up being planted quite a bit late. And that crop is still going into the ground today and will be for this week and probably a part of next week. And that's the crop that folks are worried about. They're trying to get an idea just how much of the crop is going to be late like that. And certainly wouldn't be, 20%. I think it'll probably be less than that. But I don't have a good idea either on exactly what that number is. But there is a certain percentage of that crop that is going to have a little bit of a problem potentially in reproduction, because the monsoon in Brazil usually comes to an end when we get out into a normal year in early to mid-April. If the rains withdraw early, it could be late March, And in one of those lucky years where the monsoon lasts forever, it could go on into late April. That's not going to be the case this year. We do not expect it to be a long-lasting monsoon season. We think it'll end relatively early. I'm sorry, relatively on time. But there are traders out there who believe that it might end early because we're still not seeing good moisture in Mato Grosso do Sul and Paraguay and Western Paraná, and even a part of Mato Grosso. There's some worry out there. Now, my official stand on this is that we will have well-mixed weather over these next 3 to 4 weeks. I do not expect the monsoon to end early, but I do expect to see the rains maybe a little less aggressive relative to what they have been in the past. And so that may not leave the moisture profile fully saturated when we get to the last day of the rainy season. And that is important, especially this year, because there is this certain percentage of the safrinha crop that is still not planted. And so if the rains end, let's say, in the second week of April, and you're still planting today or even next week, say the 7th of March, still putting some seed in the ground, the crop will get started, but reproduction will occur in May, and that'll be a few weeks after the rains have stopped. So the only way the crop will support itself is off of subsoil moisture. And so based on that, we need to have the ground completely saturated on the last day of the rainy season to help these late season crops so that they would have enough moisture reserve to tap into for reproduction. Now, if it's a hot, dry season, obviously that will cut that time period even shorter. So we are a little bit concerned because these next 3 to 4 weeks don't look like they're going to be high volume rain weeks, and that we do have some moisture deficits in the soil that are really not hurting the near-term crop development. But if the monsoon were to end today, there wouldn't be enough moisture to carry some of these late planted crops through reproduction. And that's where the marketplace is concerned. It looks like as of the 24th of February, safrinha planting was 59% done for the nation. So that was almost, several days ago. So they're moving along, but we may still have, something close to 20% of the crop that gets planted in these next couple of weeks. And that does raise some concern.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're less than a week away now from the all-day ag outlook. If you've not bought your ticket yet, today's the day. Don't wait. We'll close registration soon enough. willag.org, willag.org to pick up that $40 ticket for the whole day event at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You shouldn't miss it. Please do buy your ticket today. Don't wait, and we'll see you over there. That includes the Beef House lunch, the cinnamon roll, and the coffee in the morning. All the details are online at willag.org or at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The folks here at Will Ag, at Illinois Public Media, and the Farm Doc team in the College of Aces, University of Illinois Extension, are hoping that you will join us. I'm looking forward to having you there for the day. Next Tuesday should be a fantastic event. Don't wait. Buy that ticket right now. WILLAG.org. You, of course, have been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Our theme music is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.